Good.
All right, so we are reconvening mayor and council met in executive session from 5:32 to 5:50, and no decisions were made. So next we have public comment. Seeing none, we have a special guest presentation from Caroline County Council of Arts, Mr. Nicholas Tindall, executive director. You can step on up to the podium.
Or
you can just talk.
Stay there if you want.
Ask some things out first. Just wanted to have like an introductory conversation to meet everyone that I hadn't met before,
like,
and just engage in conversation about the arts, but more specifically public arts, which Debbie is well aware of. We've kind of been learning more together. We had a chance to meet with the Maryland State Arts Council. So the Caroline County Council of Arts, we received the majority of our funding from the Maryland State Arts Council. But we are an independent organization serving Caroline County. So again, just kind of wanted to introduce myself and open up a conversation dialogue between Federalsburg and the Arts Council. Like I said, specifically speak a little bit more this evening about public art, because that's certainly something that we've done quite a bit of in Denton, but wanting to serve the entire county, we want to make sure that we connect, you know, with leadership in each of the towns to just kind of get the ball rolling. I know that public art is a big priority of ours in the coming year. We feel like it accomplishes a lot of our objectives simultaneously. Certainly it's the arts, but it's also engaging the community, you know, small businesses a lot of times. And then you create kind of a landmark within the town, you know, that maybe becomes some kind of a destination to bring people in. So we're certainly going to be putting more of our time and energy into that sector. But as you can probably imagine, these projects don't always move quickly. Sometimes they can, but other times they take a little bit more development. So again, another reason why we wanted to kind of touch base and kind of check the temperature, you know, in Federalsburg to see where you might be, you know. Actually, you guys are moving along pretty well with the Sturgeon project. That's very exciting.
We have ours across the hall.
Yes, if you'd like to take a look at it.
The real live one.
Right.
May not need our help at all.
No, we do.
No, we do. I have lots of visions for, we have a blank canvas along the walking trail that is the railroad bridge. Mm-hmm. And we keep painting it black, and we've had some graffiti, but I would love to do something there. And then what I really would like to do is also do, so we've got two concrete pylons in the center of the river. I would like to paint like some blue heron and some like grasses coming up out of them, because they're like really ugly concrete. And when you walk, I think they would be really cool centerpieces as you walk up the river. And then actually Gail and Stan, they would like one done on that wall for Fed Brew, on the Fed Brew building. And then I think there's, was there another place we discussed?
I don't know. I think that our walking trail would be a great location for a storybook trail, mm-hmm. too. I know the library they collaborated with, I guess, DNR, or part. Is that who they work with?
I don't know all the details. I know that
either, is it at Martinec? It's at, either at Martinec or...
Or Tuckahoe.
I can't remember which park they put it in, mm-hmm. but we are, I mean, that would be a great location for something like that, too.
Okay. Yes, certainly. I think that's one of the first steps is, you know, identifying what kind of a project you may want,
So what is a storybook trail? Because I don't think I know.
That's more of a library initiative.
Okay.
We provided some funding to support it, but it's a nature trail, but they have posts.
You tell a story at segments along a walk, because...
Oh, the blue catfish. We could do Buster the Blue Catfish, because I'm working on that book for Rhett.
We could do an original story.
We could create our own original story, but, and I'm doing all of these graphics.
A panel with a picture and words to tell a story, and you would go to each location.
We could use Buster the Blue Catfish to do that.
Then you can rotate it each year,
Right.
Keep it fresh. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be a good one. Definitely excited about the sturgeon. We had a representative from the Maryland State Arts Council come to visit, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And Debbie was invited, and the three of us sat down, and he is their public art manager. So he wanted to come, see what we had done in Denton, but then... another reason on the list for why we're having this conversation is because there's kind of an incredible amount of money in the art sector right now, and there are a couple different public art grants that are available. If I could turn your attention, it's the second page on the handout that I gave you. This is one of them. It's two different grants. It's a planning grant you can apply up to $10,000, and a project grant, you can apply up to $50,000. We went ahead, you'll see that first deadline was October 24th. We went ahead and applied for the planning grant. But we don't necessarily have any projects in the pipeline right now. What we have kind of earmarked that money for is to distribute to the different towns, Federalsburg, potentially being one, to kick in some planning money, because 10 grand is a lot. I don't know that you'd need all of that to plan for one project. So if we can take that and break it into pieces and distribute it, throughout the county, we thought that might be a, productive way and a fair way to go about, kind of getting ramping up public art in Caroline County. So hopefully we know soon if we'll be receiving that, certainly Debbie will know. But if you guys have a project or want to get going on a project, we'll have some money there to make available. Also, you're welcome to apply yourselves as the town of Federalsburg. So they're accepting grant requests from not just organizations, but municipalities as well. So a couple different ways, approaches you can take to get that money for the public art. So there's that. There's a second deadline, March 24th. So if you wanted to apply for either of those, we're here to help educate and inform. We're not like the gatekeeper when it comes to the arts. We're certainly willing to help. Sometimes we have funding, sometimes we don't. But we always want to help point you in the right direction. The first page on the handout, we don't have to go through it all, but it's just a sample timeline. In four, five different phases, just to kind of break it down in a general kind of a way, indicating, the different steps along the way and how time-consuming it can be sometimes. Just kind of throwing out a projection there for you all, each project is different, so it can go a different way. You may find that you'll have a project that can move along fairly quickly if you're working with a local business owner and it's their piece of property and they kind of are specific about what they want done. and you're able to get the funding for that, you know, boom, you might, you know, be able to throw something like that up there within a few months. But if you're wanting to do something more elaborate, or just with an additional element of that community engagement, that those things can take much longer. But also can be much more rewarding when you get that community buy-in, because then everyone feels like they contributed to it, and, you know, they feel like they were a part of the process. So, you know, although it can take a little longer, you can, you know, it can pay bigger rewards. So, happy to take any questions.
Have you seen the 3D one in Annapolis?
No, but everyone keeps talking about that.
Super, super cool.
Yeah.
We did a walking tour for MML, had a walking tour of public art in Annapolis. That was one of our sessions.
Oh, awesome.
And we walked to all the different murals, and they've got some really great ones. But the 3D one, they said it was about $100,000.
Wow.
And it's on this wall by the parking garage. And you scan the QR code, and it pulls up on the QR code, it pulls up an overlay.
Yeah.
And when you hold it up to the wall, I mean, the wall, it's the entire side of a building. It's huge. It's probably a 4-story building. It's that big.
Wow.
And it's got the Navy fighter jets flying. It's got, like, a plane coming into BWI. It's got the sun rotating. It's got a fish jumping out of the water into a net. It is super, it's really,
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't know they had it. I would not have had, you know, and when we walked along, and they were like, they put stuff out, and I'm like, I can't tell you the number of times I walked along that street and I never looked up, mostly because I'm worried about tripping over, like, some block that's disjointed on an apple's sidewalk. But, you know, I mean, there was some beautiful murals, and I just never looked up because I was worried about where I was walking. But the 3D one is super cool. It's definitely worth a check out next time you get to Annapolis.
Awesome. Yeah, we want to see more public art in Caroline County. Kind of the grand vision would be, you know, each town kind of has their own installations, but it becomes like a countywide tour that you can do to hop around to, you know, take it all in. We're definitely trying to be open and take a fair approach and not, you know, give, you know, preference to any one town. But yeah, I mean, it can accomplish so many things at the same time, you know. So Caroline County is like a blank canvas. So, you know, if we can help with that, that's what we're here for.
Great. That's good. Do you guys have any questions? Awesome. Well, thank you. I appreciate the time coming down. And I know Debbie and I have talked numerous times about, oh, what can we do? What can we do? And when we know, like, our sturgeon are our first step, and we have 13 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our first step of, you know, getting
that's
stuff out there
exciting.
So that, yeah, we're excited about it. So
Ryan from Maryland State Arts Council was.
I'm going to invite
stoked.
Him to our thing in March when
yeah.
we're unveiling them. So hopefully, I should probably get him a date now so he can
yeah.
put on his calendar.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, please. I know the lights are off in there, but if you just put it's
mm-hmm.
sort of in back of Christie there on a table, but
yeah.
you'll get to see it in real life after I've talked so much about it.
So was he the one that
yeah.
suggested the signing?
Ryan did.
Oh, Ryan did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Ryan was the one that, I don't know if you remember, he suggested that we get our guests at that event to sign it, and then we'll cover
oh, okay.
their signatures with a base coat so that they'll be actually part of the art installation. So
but
what
we took
did.
Pictures of it,
so
that we'll actually do like a large printout of the original people that got to sign it at our original bicentennial party. So I think that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
mounting them will be next, and you might be looking for a grant to help us with
that. Yes. We will be definitely looking for a grant to help with the mounting portion of those.
Sounds
so.
Good.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
You're
we
welcome.
Appreciate it. You don't have to stay. You're welcome to.
Yeah, only if you're bored.
The riveting information of town code in sections 239-8.
I brought some pamphlets.
Oh, awesome.
With our November programming.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. You too.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
To you too.
Okay. Next, we have a follow-up review of Town Code of Ordinance sections 239-8 and 239-12, private well for industrial use.
Madam Mayor, members of council, as stated, this is follow-up to 2 weeks ago's discussion on those two sections relative to private wells for industrial use. The staff report is 90% what you've seen last time, a little bit more specific in it. And then, of course, the attachments this time are the proposed text changes. And I'm remiss for not identifying it. Red strikeouts are current language that's proposed to be struck. Italic is the proposed new language. So that's the scorecard on that one. To begin with 239.8, which again is just not necessarily specific to the private well for industrial use, but it's referenced, and it's referenced to the permit fee. As was talked about last time, the $25 is a legacy of another time. It clearly wouldn't cover costs involved in any kind of serious review or even permit process, for that matter, as far as staff time is concerned. So staff is proposing that section now be struck, $25 for each well. The permit, and read as follows, the permit fee shall be set by the mayor and council and adopted as part of the town's fee schedule. Next thing to be struck there is just a redundant language. Whenever in the opinion of code inspectors, complete plans and specifications are needed to show definitely the desired installation for which application is made, as opposed to probably. So that's just struck for the sake of a little bit more.
Do you think they were trying to say definitively? Like so it was like it's going in the specific, like we're getting an exact location? Do you think that's what the intent was, or?
I you never know what either adjectives or adverbs.
Right.
Like, what's the purpose of?
It reads fine without
right.
the word either way.
No, it's definitely there. Okay, well, until there's, site plan amendment, then it's not definitely there. As we saw, we had an 1,800-foot well that was definitely in a place, and then we had three wells that were definitely not that place. So it's just a word, but it doesn't necessarily really add to the clarity of helping an applicant figure out exactly what's necessary. And again, ideally that should be part of the application process. Applicant comes in, picks up a packet, knows exactly what they're supposed to provide. So again, it's kind of extraneous language for it to wind up in the ordinance, when it can be handled just as easily, clearly administratively. And it also provides a lot more flexibility. From past experience, we need X, we don't need Y. So those requirements can be amended according to the code inspector's perspective or insights from the town engineer if we have it. So that's just that. Anywhere, I think I might have mentioned this in the past, anywhere where town code speaks to a specific dollar amount, it's probably best to remove that because it's no longer relevant to anything, and just say that sort of generic language, a fee or a sum or amount set by the mayor and council and adopted as part of the town's fee schedule, which again could be tied to the annual budget process because every July 1,
mm-hmm.
it's updated. 239.12 is a little bit more of the point here, and the strike throughs are relatively minor On A, the only strike through is against sort of redundant language, such mayor and council approval shall be evidenced. One is just mayor and council approval shall be evidenced by a resolution adopted by the mayor and council and spread upon its minutes, which is perhaps interesting. I never heard spread upon its minutes. It's typically recorded in this minutes, but if that's our sort of our unique language, it's you know, perhaps the original intent of the founders, so I'll leave spread in there. But we get, you know, we know what it means. It needs to be in the minutes. Otherwise, there's proposed language for inclusion, specifically as pertains to hearings. So this is, again, proposed language previously read, specific prior approval of the mayor and council after formal application thereto, and hearing thereon at one or more regular meetings of the mayor and council. So you get into a bit of a confusion, or at worst, you know, a procedural due process situation where one applicant may have been subjected to one hearing, another applicant may have been subjected to multiple hearings. One applicant may have had a determination after the first hearing. Another applicant may have had continuances after multiple hearings. So just for the sake of clarity, staff is proposing that there be an a hearing at the time of the application and at the time of the findings of the town's engineering firm at the conclusion of the application review. So it doesn't bind mayor and council to make a determination at that point, but at least the applicant would know what their public review of their materials looks like. And then also relative to the period for public review and comment, staff is proposing up to 15 calendar days past the hearing date. This way, mayor and council are in no way bound to make a determination same night as the hearing, but you would be most times at the next meeting. It also gives, as we've lived through, it gives a variety of stakeholders and interested parties the opportunity to review what's proposed and actually come to some determination from their own points of view on that. So that's a little bit more of what the applicant should expect by way of the public hearing process. Additional language is the applicant is responsible for all costs incurred by the town and any of its agents in reviewing the application material, on-site visits to the proposed well site, and advertising of said hearing. If you look at our newspaper advertisements, they're well into $200-$300 more, and a $25 application fee doesn't even run that. So again, it's everybody covering the cost of what's really a private good. So at least with this language, the applicant knows what's expected of them as far as what they need to pay for. And we currently don't have that. So we do have some legal bills that have been incurred relative to AquaCon experience. And we can discuss those at another time. But in the current ordinance, there's no real language to recoup those costs. They're not extensive, but they're there. So that's A. Stop me now or to the end.
I just have one quick comment. Considering how long everything just took, is of having it stated that up to 15 days, is that really logistical possible to think that we could have a hearing and review all the information in 2 weeks and get back to them?
If it's a complete packet, it shouldn't take long. What we've just been through is obviously a statewide application.
Well, right.
And I think that they wound up with like 60 days. This is local. So while I guess national or international stakeholders would have an interest, they're also obligated to meet a timeline. in fairness, the applicant should expect an answer at some point.
So do they have to get the state one first and then they get ours?
That's still, I mean, that could, again, that could be one of the requirements for the second public hearing.
That's what I was going to ask.
I mean,
about
I feel
too.
Like the state should come first because they're the ones that have the geologists and they have, like, I feel like they should have the experts that are looking at the aquifers and where they're pulling from and where the local wells in the area that are on file are pulling from versus us not really knowing exactly where we have any wells or we might not be aware of. And then if the state approves them, right, then it comes to us. Or
well,
should
it
be the other way?
It still comes to you.
Well, if the state doesn't approve it, would we be allowed to override the state's decision for that?
I doubt it.
No.
I doubt it, too.
No.
There's no language in the ordinance that speaks to that, never was. So, even if that's an automatic, if that automatically stops the process, although, again, you could be in a situation where there are unanswered questions, but NDE decides to pass a tentative or pending approval, in which case there are unanswered questions, but it's been a tentative approval.
I mean, I would think it should state in there that after gaining state approval, then your next step is to present that as part of the package to us to make a decision on what we do. Is how I look at that.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. Final state.
Makes sense.
Is that a separate A? And we just number everything else? We number everything else?
Yeah, we can do that.
I think so.
This way applicant's pretty clear. You know, we get a no. Don't even come here.
Doesn't need to say something like in, not in situations, but where application to the state is required. I don't know, will all these require application to the state?
Good question.
Do you know?
They should.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all for...
I think any well requires...
A groundwater
like, so if I wanted to, like, if I wanted to put a well in for my irrigation, right,
you can't just sink a well.
Right,
you have to go through permits.
But I have to go through Maryland first, and then I would get one
so.
From us. Right,
yes.
In theory, that's the way that it is. That the chain of command?
Yeah, you're supposed to get a groundwater appropriation permit through the state.
Okay.
Before you would.
So if they decline it, then there's no reason to come to us and ask for approval, because in that case,
well,
we're not going to supersede what the state's denying you.
Well, you should have state.
It's like asking mom when dad says no.
And county health department approval.
Many moons ago.
I thought the county had a say in all that, right?
Yeah.
Every well goes in, the county has to approve also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they have to make sure that none of the water is contaminated.
So is it state, then county, then us?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, well then I think we should, those need to be outlined. Step one, you get your state permit. Step two is you get your county permit. Step three is you come to us with your request.
Well, many moons ago, Torbert tapped into the river for irrigation. Do we have any control over that? Or
you're technically supposed to get a permit for that too.
Yes, there's only two. Torbert and the Union Methodist Church both have a pipe going into the river.
I didn't know about you.
I don't know if Torbert actually uses his. Union Church did not. When they did a riprap, they left it in place. But
no.
They haven't turned the pump on the pump water at the church in
15
years.
No, Torbert never used his either.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so. But yeah, Union Church actually has a pipe that goes to the river to run the irrigation. And the state gave us the option, they would put it all back in place when they ripped that side behind the church. So we said yes, but we've never got it back up and running.
Oh, I've seen that.
It's a little
metal. Yeah, I've seen it when I walked the dogs along
with,
there. Yep.
Metal housing
on
top.
I've seen it.
Looks like a little library type.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my 2 cents. But if we're changing the ordinance, can we go ahead and not spread things?
I was just thinking that same thing. If we're going to fix it anyway, take
why
the word spreading
it?
Out.
Can't you see somebody sitting here arguing that point at some point in time?
I mean,
exactly where are we spreading it?
I don't want to spread anything. I'm sorry.
I'm kind of like Larry, though. Where did that come from?
Something tells me that's probably not the most humorous thing in our code, though. So what is
I'm
going?
Sure.
So,
yes, no, I would think of spread upon it. That sounds very like.
I could see like attached to.
I don't know.
17, maybe 1823 ish word.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe it's back from the bicentennial days when they.
There's no legal term where you spread.
No. No spreading.
Yeah. Keep you spreading to yourself.
Yes.
Right? Nope. Yep. Nope. All right, so I think that if we can work on that section as far as, I mean, if there's just outline for them, if you don't pass step one, do not collect $200 and you know. Okay. All right, do we have any other discussion on that one? Okay, next we have review of town charter chapter C, article for officers and employees.
Okay, Madam Mayor, members of the council, chapter C, article four, speaks to some things that are directly should be taken in consideration by mayor and council, and other things that, frankly, can be addressed through budget process and personnel policies. If you'll note the dates, we had one section, well, both sections have the dates of 1929 and 1930. One has the date of 2004, and another one has the date of just a couple of years ago, 2019, or actually 2020. So these sections sat for a good long time without any revision. And again, spoke to a particular form of government structure and way of doing business. And times may have modern practices of public administration have probably passed some of those ways to, again, include them in the budget process or through personnel policies, standing personnel policies. So the strike-throughs, again, are in red, and the proposed amended language is in italics. The first section is Article 4-1, which is to say the officials appointed. And it currently reads that the mayor, on the first Monday of October, after a mayoral election, may appoint, subject to confirmation by a majority of the council, and then there's a listing of town officials, the town manager, town attorney, building inspector, public works director, main street manager, grants administrator, chief of police, and a code enforcement officer who shall serve at the pleasure of main council, subject to removal for cause. The mayor and council may provide for the appointment of such other officers or employees of said town as it may be deemed necessary for the interests of the town from time to time and prescribe the terms, compensation, and duties of such other additional officers and employees. Staff is proposing that large sections of that be struck and rewritten. The first section of that is on the first Monday of October. Staff is proposing the first Monday of October be struck and replaced with not less than 60 days after a mayoral election. For a couple of reasons. One, we may be looking at a different election structure in the not-too-distant future and don't know that yet. And two, while of course it remains a prerogative of the mayor and appoint council to consent, what's the rush if you're looking at an organization that's interested in some measure of continuity and orderly transition from the time of our election, which is the fourth of September to the first Monday of October. Doesn't necessarily make for a lot of time for an orderly transition if orderly transition is a goal. Doesn't make a lot of opportunity for continuity of function if continuity of function is a goal. Arguably, they should be. So the 60-day period, one allows for, it strikes at obligation the first Monday of October, not knowing what our election day is going to be, but also makes for a period of reasonable transition. Second thing, happy to have any discussion.
Yeah, I'm okay.
And then it's the next is the litany of town positions: manager, attorney, building inspector, public works director, main street manager, grants administrator, chief of police, code enforcement officer. Seems to just be a random calling of town officials. There are positions that obviously need to be under the mayor and council, and there are positions that are merely operational and can be dealt with during the budget period and frankly addressed by terms of need and financial. Is there an operational need for some of these positions anymore or other positions? And if there is, why is that not brought up during the budget period as a defensible addition for a new hire or a new position? If everything's written into the charter, while it's true, mayor and council may, as opposed to shall, it just makes for positions that seem to be charter based, and therefore under more of a political than more of an operational. Why the mayor and council need to appoint a main street manager, as opposed to the town manager appoint a main street manager through a due diligence hiring period with a job description and a salary that's rooted in the step and pay grade structure. So staff's proposing that the majority of those positions just be struck, that the only ones that remain are town manager, town attorney, and chief of police. And even strictly speaking, the town attorney is not necessarily an incumbent, but it's a selected firm. And who the actual individual directed by that selected firm, it's kind of like our town engineer, right? They determine who's going to serve an engineering capacity, but mayor and council went through a formal process to select an engineering firm. So town attorney compared to town legal counsel firm, I can talk out of both sides of my mouth on that one, but manager and chief of police, no question, need to be under the purview of the mayor and council.
No.
I have a question.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. The clerk is also appointed, but that's not in this language.
No,
is that in another?
Position.
Okay.
So that was my question, too, because this is Chapter 4. Chapter 5 deals with the appointment of the clerk.
Yep.
Has very similar language. First Monday in October. If we're cleaning it all up, can we clean it all up together?
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed the whole clerk-treasurer. And again, it goes back to another day. If you recall, our ordinance also speaks to the clerk being a building official, which you don't find everywhere.
We don't want to find it here.
Look on the bright side, Christy. It'll get you outside.
I had a little taste of that in between a couple of them.
You got a comfortable work. You don't want them.
I look at
somebody's attic looking at nails.
I look at it, you're the CEO of a company, and this body is a board of directors. It's up to the CEO to run the company.
That's one way of looking at it. And again, that speaks to more of a contemporary approach than this, which is an older approach. The issue with the clerk and the clerk treasurer, I'm happy to bring up in December, precisely because I think arguably, the clerk, and I've been in places where there have been elected clerks. You know, I was an administrator when I was an elected clerk, and there was a staff-level deputy clerk who was also the treasurer. And I've been places where here is the clerk treasurer. So why those two duties are jammed together, I'm not entirely sure of. Administratively, I agree the treasurer, finance office in general, should be under the direction of the manager, supervised by the treasurer. But the clerk arguably works the mayor and council. And it couldn't be the same person. We've been doing that for 100 years or more, 1929. What if you want to change the charter and have an elected clerk? Or have an appointed clerk? Or a clerk selected from the mayor and council? Those are all options as well.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like I'm qualified to even make that decision because I'm not involved on that level.
The court position, the way it's written here, is interesting because there's also a treasurer position. There's also job functions written into the charter, which again, you know, that should be a job description in a modern world and out of our constitution. Because we know the things the treasurer's supposed to do, and they're done. I mean, they're done administratively. Bills come in, bills are paid. We send out what we need to be paid to us. It's collected, distributed to citizens through a charter account, sort of general ledger. It can all be tracked. We bring the auditors in. Treasury knows how to do all that. So why those, again, some of those functions are written in is, again, kind of redundant to what we know from personnel side of it, which is the job description, the functions, the accountability, the public record by way of the budget process and the audit process in the very least. So, yeah. But again, if there are things that are clerk related that are specifically to the council, which is some of the other things in that section, then they shouldn't be, those need not be under the manager. So for example, how you keep your records,
I'm fine with this.
That was my only thing, is if we're cleaning up some October language, do we clean it up at both places at once?
Yeah.
I get it's a bigger conversation because of the rest of it after October.
Article 4C-1, I'm just proposing to strike that language at the end, which is the mayor and council may provide for the appointment of such other officers or employees of said town as it may be necessary for the interests of said town, period, and strike from time to time and to prescribe the terms, compensation, and duties of such additional officers and employees. That's done through the budget process. That's done through the annual amendment to the pay table. Step and grading step, and then also by way of, you know, job descriptions and personnel policies. So, because arguably it would give the mayor and council the ability to say, no, we're not bringing somebody, you know, this position in at grade 15, we're bringing them in at grade 18. Well, that's your prerogative, but what's the purpose for it? Administratively, that should have to be demonstrated. One, you know, are we going to financially, you know, support it? Because otherwise, it looks like terms, pay, compensation, arguably the mayor and council can make a no-show job if they so like, by not providing any responsible duties, and that would be contrary to a job description. So, I think it just clears that up and gets out any questions about who won, and everything's done by way of the personnel policies, the step and grade chart, thinking both of which are under regular public records as well. Next section, 4-2, not been amended since 2004, and otherwise was intact for 75 years before that. Staff can make the case for striking the whole thing and relying on the personnel policies to handle it. But if that's not the case, staff has one text amendment proposed, which is a strike through. It currently reads, in the event of a vacancy shall occur in any office created under this charter, or which shall be created by the mayor and council of Fredericksburg pursuant to the power conferred upon this charter by death, removal, resignation, failure to qualify, or otherwise, the mayor shall, and as currently written, as soon as convenient, thereafter appoint another person to fill said office. convenient and replace that with not more than 60 days. Thereafter, appoint another person to fill said office vacated for all, and then again, change from all of the unexpired term to all or part of the unexpired term. It's entirely possible a vacancy occurs 1 month into a new administration. There's really nobody handy who would want to be able to do the job. You don't appoint somebody for the expectation of a full term. Hey, do you want to do this full term? I do not. Do you want to do this for 60 days until we bring somebody on board? Maybe. So that's just, and also it doesn't say that you fulfill the position by someone already on staff. So where you're going to find people as soon as convenient is a bit beyond me, just as a practical matter for, again, continuity of function and, a smooth transition. So it gives mayor and council some time to either make an on-site appointment of someone on staff who can serve two roles, not overburden or burn out that individual by having them have those two roles for one period of time, and also a period of time to do some measure of due diligence in the hiring to bring someone on board to round out a term, an unexpired term. So that's what we got as far as that section. Again, I could just as easily say strike it all and put it in the personnel policies, but I'm not proposing to strike it all and put it in the personnel policies.
There is a teeny tiny typo in it.
Okay.
The last sentence says he, she, slash she, or she.
Okay.
Just in case you cut and paste it.
That's right. That's how it reads today. She or she.
There are some she-he's running around. So.
So, but this now is really only dealing with, if we're changing 4-1, it's really only dealing with town manager, town attorney, and chief of police.
Correct.
Right? Because then, I mean, at this point, I mean, there's only three people left that are now being appointed, so.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, I don't see any problem with either of these changes.
No.
So I like the cleaning up of it all.
Yeah, I like all what you said.
It just makes for a more, clear understanding of roles and responsibilities. It cleans up any inconsistencies with personnel policies. And again, personnel policies are where you're going to do things like make sure you don't discriminate against somebody with a disability. Whereas here, there's no obligation to, recognize.
They're two separate.
Civil rights and hiring. Mm-hmm. Whereas those things are going to be stated in the personnel policies and are. So it just clears away some of the ambiguity of what should be, again, in the charter, which is our constitution, compared to what should be in our policies, practices, and procedures, which are more easily amended, more flexible, and again, provide some measure of quicker interaction, especially with staff situations. So that's what we got.
So did you want to move forward with these changes first, and then we're gradually going by each section, or are we?
Well, I mean, we could, again, there are some other things, but my preference was to deal with some of the personnel side of it. Because, again, we have personnel policies. So this is old language, a different approach to governing, and redundant compared to personnel policies and budget practices we're already doing.
Right.
As clerk treasurer position for next month, could get looked at, cleaned up, decide how much mayor and council still want to have control of, and what you don't need to have control of directly compared to, directing the manager to provide proper administration of that department. And not knowing what our election day is going to be, there's really no rush. election day neutral as possible at this point.
No, so I was going to say, if you are going to change the clerk treasurer for appointment as well, you should do it all in one resolution, just because charter amendments have to be by resolution.
Right,
and
posted.
You can only do one topic per resolution.
Right.
And because of the advertising costs, we try to squeeze as much into one resolution as we
can.
That's
what I was thinking.
But, I mean, I can draft the resolution, or we can wait until that conversation if you don't. If you're not going to do it in line with this, where you would remove that position from appointment, or if you want to have a further conversation, we can just wait till that conversation and draft one ordinance. Resolution, sorry.
I mean, my preference is all the personnel was forward at one time.
Yeah.
Which would include the clerk treasurer now. We have our clerk treasurer, so... I'm just saying, it's, you know, you've always worked under, you know, being appointed.
Mm-hmm. Except for when we forget.
That's okay.
Okay, so I think if we fix the duties or whatever for the other section also, and then we just roll it all up into one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably is the most efficient and cost-saving, and it gets us where we're trying to get to with what's actually charter versus personnel.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you got the clerk treasurer charter section in front of you, you'll see some of those duties that are just, you know, it's a job description.
Mm-hmm.
It's already being done. So it is merely a redundant language, and, you know, It puts administratively the onus on bringing forward job descriptions, keeping them current, and bringing them forward, if not annually, because that's probably a burden to everybody, but every 2 or 3 years, the whole collection, like we did with sort of reassigning public works and public utilities, right? Here's what the guys do. We ask them, what do you do? Here's their job description, and then it came to mayor and council for review, and they amended accordingly. So that's, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that with manager, chief police, or treasurer, and whoever else. I'm not exactly sure what the defined responsibilities of our town attorney are, but that goes with the selection of the firm. Same like our auditor. So, and our engineer, for that matter. None of which are addressed in the charter, and the town seemed to work pretty well without those positions being removed. There's no provision to hire a town engineer either, strictly speaking, on the charter. But it makes sense to have an engineering firm because we don't have that expertise in house.
So, is it appropriate to keep the town attorney in as an appointed individual since? That individual is, in fact, not necessarily appointed. I mean, Lindsay's firm could say, well, we're going to have so-and-so come starting tomorrow, you know. I mean, does that need to be in here with people that truly are employed by the town directly and appointed by the mayor?
Good question. I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I think it's on the one side, that position is critical to mayor and council being able
for sure.
to do their position successfully. So there should be a level of comfort. My expectation is if the selected, at any given point in time, the selected law firm sends an incumbent mayor and council aren't comfortable with, you ask for a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is no, then you find another firm.
Is that kind of how that,
mm-hmm.
when they transition from Brina to you?
Yeah, so generally we are, and when appointed by a town, it is the firm and me or whoever is your acting person. At one point it was Brina. And when she was appointed, she came and said, Liz is going to take over if you're okay with it. And then I was appointed. There's never been a situation where, aside from maternity leave, I would just step out. You would also appoint that person, even though the firm and me are appointed. I am really the.
I'm not looking to get rid of you. I don't want you to think.
No, I'm not. Because I want you. I mean, it's an awkward position for me as well when a new mayor or council come in, because sometimes they have friends that are attorneys, or they think the attorney is the reason for the direction of the town sometimes. So, I'm happy to do whatever. But normally, if I were to leave, you would appoint the next person. And a lot of times, like with MDE or USDA projects, I have to sign off on a lot of things, and I have to show minutes where I specifically was appointed as a town attorney in order to do that.
That's a good reason to keep that.
Well, I remember when Brynja was leaving, I remember you started to come with her to meetings to start the transition.
Yeah.
So is it a contract? Like?
I don't have one. I don't have one anywhere. I know places that do require it. I always feel like I serve at your pleasure, and if I'm not at your pleasure, then find someone else.
I'm not saying, but I mean, somewhere, somehow, there's money exchanging hands.
Mm-hmm.
There's some fee structure that's either agreed upon or it just is what it is. Like, if the practice tomorrow...
I don't even know how long our rate's been what it is. Probably since we started here.
Yeah.
Seven...
Yeah, they agreed upon a rate initially.
Initially, okay.
And I don't know that it ever changed.
Yeah, budget-wise, we cut it one time, and that was a mistake.
The total.
But let's say I'm just... I'm trying to just play.
I take offense to nothing that none of the questions any of you are asking.
But let's say six months from now, the firm says, we got to change these rates.
Yeah.
We need 2-3 times what we're currently charging. And we go,
Or they get rid of me and send
someone
else.
Like,
we're definitely changing.
I would.
Right.
But my point, I think we would go through, just like we did with the engineer, we would go through a competitive bid.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, we're really using our purchasing.
Right, that's what I was thinking. They're not appointed at
that
point.
They're not appointed at that point.
They've won a bid based on their rate
or based on their suite of services. And then once the bid is given to the firm, we can appoint an individual from the firm.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's kind of this weird, like, thing.
Well, and you look at where our attorney is part of the process. We have a bond counsel that's not appointed by mayor and council.
Right.
Legit. You know, somebody slips, trips, and falls.
Right.
Legit attorney investigates that.
Sure.
So you already have different attorneys working on the town's behalf.
Sure.
Through a variety of contractual arrangements or risk pool or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are appointed, but I guess suppose they could be, right?
They could. Yeah, I mean... I look more of my job as protecting you all as the mayor and council.
Let's say somebody runs for mayor. Actually, I'm just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody runs for mayor, comes in and says, I'm not reappointing you. Well, now what?
Well, unless we approve it.
I understand that.
But assuming everyone says sure.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden there's no attorney. There's meetings that are taking place.
You're not covered.
There's a purchasing process that now has to go through as we bid out to a new, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're...
Should we look at some...
Because that has to go out for bid, and that, I mean...
60 days anyway.
Yeah, you see 60 days.
So
that's not including any, like you did with the engineer interviewing and...
Right. So should we look at, and maybe not in this suite of changes, but should we look at that? I mean, is that an internal policy, or is that... I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
It's procurement. We would go through, somebody does no difference between the law firm, the engineering firm, one of these days, the auditor,
But to that point, does it allow for, where does it need to be a clause where termination of town council or whatever it needs to be a 90 days notice to allow for proper procurement of the next?
Or the town council serves until a successor is...
Appointed or something.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't have this gap where there's no...
There's no coverage. I agree.
Yeah.
Right.
You can fire the auditor next meeting if you like. And we're out of luck with it. No, I'm just saying.
She's like, bad example.
Well, and I will say there are situations. So Dorchester County right now is going through a bit of... I don't think they've ever had their act together. But anyway, they just terminated their Planning Commission Council and their Board of Appeals Council, and they have a firm that's a group of six or seven men that do this, and they're coming in and on an interim basis while they go through the RFP process. So it's not ideal, because you don't want someone new to get used to your system, and then they're gone again, and someone else is in. But there are people available in a bind.
This is something that you want.
I don't think our procurement policies all speak to, like, professional services.
I think they specifically exclude
attorneys. Correct, and it's you know, at a certain point, you know, your firm has been your firm forever, and strictly speaking, it's always mayor and council prerogative to get a fresh set of eyes on anything. Manager, attorney, accountants, auditors, engineers, what have you.
Right.
So I don't think that that needs to be, again, written into the Constitution.
No.
But again, it needs to be a measure of flexibility. This way, the only alternative isn't a new administration comes in and just fires everybody.
Right.
Yeah, come in, Lindsay, keep your nose clean on your own.
Do my best.
I miss, what stops a future mayor from coming in, ending the relationship with the town attorney and town attorney's firm, and then not appointing a new one?
Well, if it's in the Constitution, I think that's 60 days.
60 days, okay. Yeah. That's weird, okay.
And the mayor couldn't do that without council support.
I get that, yeah.
Yeah, but you could always get a mayor and two new council members elected at the same time with some type of agenda.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this. I'm not trying to split hairs. It says to appoint, you need approval of the council. Does it say anywhere to remove, you need approval of the council? Because that's a very different...
Well, doesn't it assume that the appointment ends at the end of the...
Ask Andrew
Johnson. And that's another issue that you all have. If you have someone that's contentious, assume I was appointed.
Right.
Barbara versus Madison.
Right.
At Kim's first meeting, and 2 months later she says, no thanks. And I said, well, I was appointed.
Right.
Until the next, you know,
I'm just wondering, do we clarify that? I mean,
because you can't really have a functioning, again, we're speaking specifically to the attorney. Yeah. I mean, as manager, I wouldn't be comfortable bringing you anything unless there's an attorney at a meeting.
Right.
To be blunt. So, effectively, you've shut down your ability to govern.
Right.
And
that's maybe.
Now, if you're going to do it for 60 days, is one thing. You do it for
right.
Well, I'll get around to appointing someone when it's convenient, and that may have determined it's never convenient.
But maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe it just needs to be sort of, if that's what we believe, and that's another discussion. If that's our form of government, mayor makes an action, council approves. Well, it very clearly says that to appoint someone to the position, that's what has to happen. Doesn't need to say to remove someone from the position.
Well, technically, by not appointing them, you've removed them.
I think he said, I'm talking in the interim.
In the interim.
Right. So a year in, you're like,
right.
She smells bad, and I don't want to sit next to her anymore. I mean, you could have language appointed unless and until removed, which doesn't have a specific time frame, but gives the ability to remove.
I'm just asking the question.
Does legal counsel merit its own section?
Mm-hmm.
Take it out of this as an employee and employees? Because I agree, town attorney is not an employee. Mm-hmm. In a current structure, I mean, the mayor and council want to go out and advertise for an on-state employee. Leesburg had one, you know, 20 years ago. I think they have three now. Mm-hmm. But most places don't. They go through procurement
most all counties have an on staff, but outside of that, you don't find one in a town because you just don't have the budget.
Right.
I mean, I can do some digging in other municipalities and see what they have as far as legal counsel and charters, and just send it out for ideas.
See where it falls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so you're doing the other section for next month, and then we can do a comprehensive...
Yeah, maybe we can do clerk, treasurer, and legal counsel next month,
okay.
And then by the following, we can have resolutions
to
address
post.
Everything.
Okay, and advertise. That sounds good. Anybody have any else on that?
No.
Any discussion? Right, next we have update on street paving projects.
Okay, and I have visuals for a crowd, too, but...
Whoop, whoop!
No need.
We don't even have to be online, either.
No, really?
Nope.
Okay, big picture, it's the spring. because next week's December, asphalt plants are going to be closing. It's what we got. I went out and did a walk around with our engineer. The loop of Girardi and Brooklyn has got the bumps every so often. Steve Dyett, and that's discussed in a June report. Steve Dyett's plan, which was a good one, was that the town purchased a milling head with ARPA money, and then our staff is in the business of milling and patching. What that would do, at least in Brooklyn and Girardi, would it would take out the undulations. And where we've got at least a couple of stretches of alligator skin, those would be milled down, and those can be patched. It's less costly than putting it out as a contract for one of the two firms that we know are going to bid on it. And it's in-house, so it's all labor. It's just a better approach. I don't believe our guys are interested in being a road crew, but I think come spring, I can help them find the wisdom in being a road crew.
Now, we have the wherewithal to actually pave it?
It's like anything else. They're not doing it now, but the manufacturer or the provider of the milling equipment has an interest in their equipment being used successfully. So I'm sure, you know, a couple of them can get trained on it.
I mean, I understand the milling part of it, but then actually laying the asphalt back down, getting the roller in, doing that, we can do that?
I think so. And again, it's, you know, you're dealing with those curb-to-curb strips.
Right.
They're not doing an entire road. So for Brooklyn and Girardi, I'm comfortable that they can. For Greenridge, no way.
No, I understand we're talking short distances, patches, whatever. But.
Right. Because that'll at least make it level. There were some issues with that street anyway that our engineer pointed out, not the least of which the two areas where you've got whatever large piece of equipment goes through there. Garbage truck, school bus, fuel oil delivery truck, whatever it is it might be, that the torque on the wheels is just going to keep tearing up certain places. So that's going to be forever with that street. And that's life, like the torque over here by the post office. That's just forever going to be life. When all the vehicles are going up there, they have to bring up the torque and keep going because there's no stop sign.
I understand the concept of getting the milling machine, but do we have the equipment to put it back down other than taking a shovel and slaying it and tamping it down?
Well, we'll make do. You know, we'll make do. They're supposed to have to tamp down anyway, and that's how they're supposed to be patching the streets. So I think we can make do. Again, it was a good idea. Steve and I had discussed that before he left. And, you know, we put the order in for the equipment, never wound up buying it. Did a couple other things. But, $850,000, $875,000
only
got to go so far.
Yeah.
So to where we can be, more independent, our guys will step up. I'll expect them to step up.
What does the finished product then look like? Is it a patchwork?
That's exactly what it is. It's It's about 3/4 of an inch dug out where all those seams are dug out. Our engineers propose is 4-foot width and then replaced. So you'll have what you've got, and then where the current seams are, there'll be 4-foot stretches where it's been at least brought to grade, at least brought level.
So it would be gray, and then the new blacktop, and then gray, and then the new blacktop.
So we're going to put a top coat on it.
Right.
And that's going to have to be a phase two.
But it fixes their dips, which is what their big complaint is.
Right.
It fixes the dips.
And then we come in and top coat it later.
At some point. Because that's almost an aesthetic compared to
other
streets that have
understood. I just,
you know.
Yeah.
That still have sandboxes on them from utility cuts years ago. Greenwood bought Maple Avenue.
He's asking for a rent. Oh, Maple.
In Green Ridge. That price, was that putting sidewalks in that one block, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. I wanted to make sure I was right.
That's the pink, the pink markings when the survey crew was out.
Oh, I hadn't even noticed pink markings up there.
About 3 weeks now, yeah. Yep.
Is there any concern with it pushed to spring with us using ARPA money of getting the money off the books in time? I mean, are we starting that and honestly, that's just a question, that and the AMI meters, like is that
AMI meters, we're already paying big bills.
Okay.
Yeah, I signed one today.
I was like,
thank God this is out of ARPA.
There's a ton of money that's already transpired on
that's
them.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've said from forever that, you know, their plan is to be gone by February, March.
Okay.
Move on to wherever else they're going to go. There's a lot of equipment. I mean, so when we're writing $170,000 checks.
Yep.
There's a lot of materials already sitting over in storage.
Okay.
But
it works.
Yeah, but you know, it's all storage now until the crew comes in and does the change out.
Yeah, I mean,
those
just,
guys are going to
yeah.
work like demons, but then I'm not going to probably not see them until February.
Right.
These folks haven't even been trained yet.
Yeah, just to, I mean, I know there's a deadline for that money, and so just those are two of the biggest
yeah.
big ticket items, and just. You hate to all of a sudden be like, yeah, we didn't spend it. Like, you know,
yeah.
So that's a question. But cool.
Yeah, the deadline is December 31st of 2024.
Cool. Okay.
For appropriating, but actually for spending, it's not until 2026.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize spending went out that far.
Yeah, but
okay.
Remember, if you depend on the price of asphalt,
I know.
Tomorrow's a better day. Yesterday was a better day.
I know.
So
I get you.
And we do have the situation, Deldot's buying up a lot of the asphalt,
mm-hmm.
which is at least stabilizing the price, but it puts us way down the road to actually get asphalt, on the list to actually get asphalt. So spring might be, practicality's sake, just a better way. I understand everybody wants things done today, but much like the water meters, people want their streets fixed as soon as we start disturbing their streets. Can't park in the street for 4 days. You know, we need to start doing the public information on that as well.
Well, it keeps our new streets from getting scrapped up by the snowplows. So
for now, yeah.
They start in spring, then you know we have a good 6 or 8 months of really good street before it gets scraped up by somebody's snowplow.
No, you don't. You have about a month. Because any time there's ever been a street, there'll be a water leak in a month.
Stop.
Any
that
road that's
true.
Ever been redone in this town, I can assure you.
But now we can, when there is a water leak, we can mill it and we can fix it at grade, right?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
As opposed to what we have been doing.
That's true.
And those things never seem to get patched completely.
They're either a big hump or they go the other way. They're never...
They're traffic calming.
I've often wondered why they can't, you know.
Or why.
So.
But it's a new day, and they'll be up to it.
Cool.
And again, it gets it at a time before they have to cut grass every week. So, that's us anyway. When we get, you know, one of the two firms is going to want to bid for it, actually come out here. Green Ridge may very well want to be the summer project. And we'll put the advertisement out
wonder, could we create a map? Just or do we have one? Or would we highlight the roads?
Yeah, just that. There's just that red map.
Okay.
But since there is a phase two,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just for the sake of hope, it wouldn't hurt to show the proposed phase mm-hmm. two is on the map as well.
We can do a Google map and just put
yeah.
like one color is phase one and this color is phase two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if
yeah.
there's any questions, we put, you know, you highlight the streets that were done in 2013, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, when are they going to get on my street? 8 years ago, when are they going to get around my street? You know?
And well, now that the election has happened, we need to circle back around with Department of Transportation and try to get back on. I have not, but we were waiting for a change of leadership
right.
for who our delegates were, because they're going to be the ones that need to push this forward with sunsetting that bridge debacle. So now that we've had the change in leadership, once they all get installed, then I think that's we start hitting them with this, the changes that we need, and we need to get this fixed
yeah,
and resolved.
In terms of legislative support, you know, there's 100 things that need to get done. I'd like to see a new football field. That's like a real nice stadium. I'd like to see $500,000 in Marina Park. It'll, you know, Centerville or Snow Hill. No, we play in their league, and there's no reason they got a better waterfront to leave. But consistently, those two pump stations and road money. I mean, anytime I talk to anybody who's at the state level, pump stations and roads, it's really what we need to, those need to get fixed. A new football stadium would be nice.
When will we get an idea of what actual we get for highway user funds?
We should be getting that next month or so.
Okay.
With
the change in legislation?
Well, it shouldn't matter. I mean, they send out the estimate anyway, and the estimate's basically right. But for us, it's always like $145,000, $150,000.
Right, but that's the old that's the old amount.
But it's been up.
It was up.
Okay, well, let's
it was up. So
we'll
should.
We'll
they were restoring more. I think it went to 93%.
Okay.
It was something. It went up. All right. So
because the last communication I got was precisely that. It was the two fiscal years. One was like $144,000, and one was like $151,000. So, and $120,000, some of that, $127,000, and that, I think, goes right off.
To pay the bond.
To pay the bond.
Yeah.
So that's why they left with $30,000 cash.
Yeah.
And the bipartisan infrastructure bill money is supposed to be flowing. My understanding is it came to the states not all that long ago, so those projects should be opening up as well. Again, another $2 million for roads, like $2 million for ARPA. Another $2 million for roads helps us a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that competitive? Do we have to apply for that? Or
that is competitive,
okay.
But it's again, like ARPA, it's supposed to flow.
Gotcha.
It's money that's inflationary. It's money that's out there that's supposed to be spent.
No, understood.
Yeah,
but,
so.
But the likelihood of us getting an allocation is high?
I wouldn't say high.
Okay.
I'd say good. I'd say reasonable.
Okay.
I mean, we can make the case,
okay.
You know, especially we can make the case that with the Howard State allocations been spent, it actually hasn't been spent by people gross. It's been spent paying off debt, which is an acceptable use.
Mm-hmm.
But the need to send us $150,000, and we're expected to maintain state roads.
Well, right, because we were paying off debt that we incurred paving state roads that we should not have paid.
Well,
I think that really is our end.
Right.
Any money.
Right.
Okay.
So that's where we're not with the streets. Big picture, no time soon.
Anything else on street paving? All right. Next we have January 2023 meeting dates. The plethora of.
Says what it says.
Mm-hmm.
You got two regular, you got the Planning Commission wants to have one, and I was going to have a joint on a few issues, and you got a community meeting, and arguably a strategic planning session as well.
All right, so we're really looking at, well, it's already January 3rd and January 17th, right?
Well, January, a week of January 3rd, or is that?
We are here January 3rd.
perfect.
Yeah, that's Tuesday.
Okay.
Right, because we're closed the Monday. Or no, we're open Monday.
No.
We're closed Monday.
We're closed
Monday.
Monday
is technically New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right, because it rolls from Sunday to, right, yeah, so I think we're closed.
And then Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm.
Yep, is so that's January 17th.
I guess you'll have the 17th.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so then...
And then the 23rd is the redistricting.
Right. So do we want to try to do a strategic planning session? Like we did last year? Not including the blizzard? Can we skip the blizzard this year, whoever ordered that?
More people here for blizzard.
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And you said Plan and Zonin wants to meet with us?
Yeah, they want comp plan. And then they've also raised a concern about the 76 accepted uses in the industrial park. So if there's concern about if there's no fish factory, what there might be, there are 76 options right now already written in the code. So much as mayor and council have even last meeting expressed similar concern, they hold that similar concern as well.
So can that be our work session, or does it need to be a separate meeting?
It could be the joint meeting with them at during their meeting.
When's
their meeting?
Tuesdays?
17?
Or do we need to look
our
at Wednesdays?
Tuesday
yeah. Will be the 31st.
Tuesday the 3rd is one of the, it's going to be touch and go for me, but Becky's also running a marathon in Disney because she's crazy. So keep it on Tuesday. I may just have to zoom in
okay. And
perhaps excuse myself while I go to the Board of Ed and do the personnel report and then come back and resume. I mean, it's no need to
disrupt
it. Okay.
Yeah. I just remember you saying Tuesday.
Tuesdays can be tough. Tuesdays can be tough. Their meeting is the 31st.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're joining their meeting on the 31st? Is that what they would like?
I think logistically it's going to be easier for you to join them than for us to try and wrangle another date to get a quorum.
Okay.
They know they meet on the 31st.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What time is their meeting? Is it 6?
6.
Okay. I may just be a few minutes late if I'm coming from them. Because I've got a 4:30 to 6.
Okay.
On the 31st. We're flexible.
All right, so do we want to try to... do a strategic planning in January, or should we just try February? Since January, we already have 1, 2, 3, 4 meetings.
Yeah, I think we might want to
What's the 4th?
The 10th February workshop will be the 21st as well, because the 20th is President's Day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We have to advertise all those new things, though.
Mm-hmm. Can we advertise them all at once?
We don't have to have them.
No. Oh.
You just normally put them on the sign, don't you?
Right.
Facebook. And,
yeah, okay.
Website, okay.
Right. So you said February, you're the 21st?
Yes.
Tuesday the 21st? Yep, because of the holiday.
President's Day. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do something in February for a strategic planning session? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was asking. I don't really... I mean, do we want to do a Saturday again like we did before?
Saturdays I'll be iffy on.
Right, because I need to work.
Are you guys open for like a Sunday afternoon?
I mean, that doesn't bother me on a in February because it's like hanging out outside, so doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I might be more apt to be able to make a Sunday afternoon.
What does the 5th look like for people?
Which month?
February 5th.
I don't know if my calendar goes up that high.
I mean, I'm fine with February 5th.
I mean, we're going to, it'll be real quick into the whole, the end of the month if we, you know.
Yeah. All right, so do you want to shoot for that for strategic planning?
Too early to assign a time.
January 3rd, 17th, 23rd, and 31st.
What's 23rd?
The redistricting meeting.
Redistricting meeting.
The special meeting up in Brooklyn or wherever we're going to do it.
Am I at that one?
Can you?
What time is that? January 23rd?
We didn't set a time yet. Probably normal meeting time, probably.
So we're going to meet on the afternoon of the 5th and then come back and meet again the 6th.
That's what I was just thinking.
Okay.
Do we want to, I mean, well, we could do the 12th
we
as our strategic plan. Oh, okay.
And for what it's worth, I mean, I'm not a Super Bowl person, but y'all who watch the Super Bowl, that's the 12th, too.
Right, okay.
That's on America.
Well, then the 5th is the Sunday without football.
Without football.
Six, there
the
you
best
go.
One to go that, right there.
Right.
Kick off 6:35, though, so.
I could put it on the
sorry,
big screens while we're here.
Great pizza. My daughters get off at 8 instead of 9.
Oh, it's hello.
Now, what's that 1 to 23rd of February?
That's of January.
23rd
January.
At TBD.
Did we set a time for the 5th?
We did not.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to do it 1 o'clock. I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm thinking after church or whatever for those of you who go to church.
Does that work for...
1 o'clock?
Yeah. I'd rather start it at 1 and be over earlier than go into the evening hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I would rather be...
It'll be dark if we're
30,
Sunday
night supper.
Yeah, nope.
I do. I think at my family.
And what's that meeting?
I mean, you could do... We could do 11 and get pizza for lunch.
I might be in church.
I thought that would
be pushing.
Oh, 11 pushing. Okay.
I mean, we get off at 10:30.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay. January 23rd is the redistrict.
We're good at Denton.
The NAACP.
That's where we've been going.
Denton Christian.
Yeah, on Mitchell Road in Denton.
Oh, okay. Yep. On the week talking.
Do you have any action items for you?
I do not. Actually, just while we were talking, it popped in my head. Did we not apply for a grant for the broadband?
Yes. No.
It was denied.
Right.
Okay, I didn't remember seeing that. All right.
Again, points. We didn't get enough points.
Right. We're only shy on those.
I put down 6 because that's when I'm...
You would think, with the population we have...
It's a Monday night. We can't have it too early.
And the push that the whole government is making to get everybody broadband, we would get enough points for something like that. But,
well,
you know.
I think it's also... The cap on that was $300,000 on... the guys that come up to like 278, but that connected this sort of whatever it was, option B or C.
Right, it wasn't the whole.
Right.
It was true.
This patch, and we run a line between them, and that's not 90% people. It certainly isn't like our low income people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That option was more to connect their network than it was to connect our people. Right.
Well, and arguably, it hooked up the industrial park. And
all the town buildings.
Yeah.
In my house, by the way. I kind of like that part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, right outside of town.
Stress.
Yeah.
Didn't help me block a Maple Avenue.
Or the 200 block
or
West Central.
West. 100 block.
No, it did help you. Oh, it didn't? Okay.
No, the second plan, the more expensive, the $800,000 plan helped her.
Yeah.
The $400,000 plan didn't.
Super Soda would have gotten it.
Yeah. Mm.
So if we get another million for that and 2 million for the streets,
it'll be golden.
Yeah.
All right. I am sorry.
All right. Thanks. All right, so we'll get all the states on the calendar that we have for all that stuff. All right, do we have anything else on the meeting dates? Okay. Next, we have Mayor and Council Action Items. Councilman Windsor?
Kim, I'd like to apologize for I committed this past Saturday and I didn't show up. So I do apologize for that.
It's all right, Ed.
Thank
you, though.
All right, and I will not be able to attend the planning and zoning meeting. I was going to ask Mercedes if she could forward me any notes that she takes because I've got my second eye surgery.
Good luck with that.
And then last but not least, along the railroad tracks between South Main Street and the railroad bridge, there's a little strip of woods. Someone's turning it into a dump.
Okay.
And if nothing else, can we get some no dumping signs or something? I mean, there's trees and trash.
Is it coming off of Toby's property?
I didn't want to point fingers.
Okay. Well, it's neighboring to that house, so...
Yeah, but
I mean,
no, this is deliberate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so the question would be, maybe we could also ask them if they've got, like, a Ring camera out their security so mm-hmm. that they might see if it's coming, where it's coming from. We could certainly ask them.
That might be incriminating.
Well, then they won't give
the
it. Then they won't be dumping.
Do you think the homeowner's doing it?
Yes.
Oh, so they're not going to use a Ring camera to.
Well, then you post some no typing signs on our property.
Yep.
So.
And last but not least, I hope everyone has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
That's it.
Thank you, Councilman Windsor. Councilman Sewell?
Ed mentioned it, but we had a very successful park cleanup on Saturday. We worked from 8 to 2, and Town Denton came and helped us with their leaf vacuum, and Scott was there and helped as well. It was a very full, very productive day. I wanted to commend the town for getting the word out about trash pickup this week. Because I've gotten probably like 6 texts and multiple phone calls. And it's on Facebook. I've gotten texts from 2 different numbers about it even. But and I'm not being sarcastic. There is no reason that anybody should not know about trash pickup this week. So good job with that. Because I still see people putting their trash can out on Monday and just sort of, it's like roulette. You know, oh, well, I'll just put it out on Monday. It gets picked up when it gets picked up. So, you know. And then I've got some Lions Club dates just so you guys are aware of what we're doing to help celebrate Christmas. On Friday, the 2nd, at 6 o'clock, is the tree lighting at the Triangle. The parade is on the...
12th?
Yeah, I was going to say I put the 2nd.
What time is
right.
The tree lighting?
It's 6.
At 6, okay, I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry.
Parade is on the 12th. It's Monday night at 7. And then Christmas at Chambers Park is on the 18th at 5:30. So.
You want to put them on my calendar?
I'll send you an email.
I can send you a meeting request, Ed, to put them on your calendar if you'd like.
No, I screwed that calendar up. That's why I want someone else to do it.
Oh, I'll put them on if you want. But that's all I have.
Thank you.
Do we have a parade plan, or are we just walking again? Or are we going to try to shoehorn into a convertible like we did last year?
We can shoehorn. Do you want to shoehorn into a...
Debbie and I got to know each other very well.
I know, because I think you were almost sitting on my shoulders. Or something.
Well, that was very... on the 3 of us on that back side was definitely... We were wedged in there.
Yeah, I don't mind walking, but I do... For the Christmas parade, I would prefer to...
Yeah,
it's cold.
Yeah, it's a good walk from where we get parked and lined up. So we can see if we can find maybe a slightly larger vehicle.
Yeah, any suggestions? Did we have Wayne's convertible?
We have Wayne's convertible. Maybe Can we use like Nancy's Jeep or something?
Nancy is driving Aiden as Luna the Lion
right.
in her Jeep.
What if she drove
She's
him
taking
in,
the
like,
T-tops
a truck.
Off.
Okay. All right, we'll try to figure something out for the...
And what time is Christmas in Chambers Park, sir?
5:30.
All right. Anything else? Thank you. Councilman Willoughby.
So, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, we talked about the lease for the cell tower.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Did anything happen with that? Or
August 15th, we got our $15,000 rent for the year.
Right.
So, there's a year off. Needs to be renegotiated. These guys still call me, and I'm going to do it for the budget year again. But if it's $280,000 sitting out there, cash.
Yeah, let's get that. In
that's what I was like.
Play
between that and our yard sale.
Yeah.
And some of these grants coming back. There's another $200,000 on some of this grant money coming back.
Right.
With these grants closing out.
Yeah.
The project's finally closing out. You know, and 280 grand sitting up there, and another 25-30 grand without the trash truck sitting at the yard and our facilities. I mean, right now I could use $500,000 cash in the bank.
Understood. So, I mean, we were all in favor of moving forward, right? Or were we waiting on some detail of it? I can't.
We had a price war for a little while, a bidding
right.
war.
Right.
Now, I don't think that bidding war is going to change.
Right.
And is it worth continuing to squeeze for $1,000 here, I'll match for $1,500.
Well, I'd say take the 280 and run
right
now.
I think Scott was not really on board. He was sort of ambivalent about it
okay.
because I think he was worried about if they pulled out.
Right.
That was the question. I think if something happened to the water tower, like what was the terms of the contract, and if something happened
right.
to the water tower. And we
or
had
if
to pay to move.
Was no longer needed.
Well, that
to.
Wasn't that wasn't really the problem because they already pay up
it
front.
It is that you have to pay to
move. Right. We have to pay to move it. If I think that was the language
the
that was the holdup
fails.
And the concern.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe can we revisit it? I mean, I don't know. In my memory, it just kind of went away.
Right.
I can't remember. So.
I think that was the concern is that if we ended up if something happened to the water tower and we had to move. We had to pay. Did we have to pay
yeah.
to move their equipment?
So was
and
it
then
a
there
question
was,
or did we vote it down?
We
didn't vote it down. It was
sort
a question.
Of tabled it.
And then there was another discussion as to, along those same lines, the existing lease, how is the existing lease with AT&T, who would pay to move it? Right? I think
right.
that's what I remember.
Okay.
Right? Like if in what we have now with them, we're in the same thing. Right? If it, like, but
right.
I think it was under what the guys had said. Was that it kind of fell on the carrier, not us.
Correct.
And I think that's what I remember there
right.
being a question about. So other than that, if we could get that answer, then I think we were okay with go ahead and selling the lease and
right.
taking the money and running, because as technology changes, we might not get that offer in.
Correct.
Okay.
That's the downside.
Right.
They don't want to be in the cell tower business, so they'd rather buy towers already exist.
Right.
Their technology changes that they don't need towers anymore. They need telephone poles.
Right.
And then we've got... No.
Right.
Well, Rob, if we're going to discuss it, it'd have to be about June.
Right.
I'd
get on the agenda.
Earliest.
Well, first cut of the budget is probably going to be March.
Right.
I mean, at least we've got to get the personnel. At least we've got to get the personnel stuff squared away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know in a month what the CPI is. And we'll know right now we can't match it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some of those things that we're going to have to start. Debt and personnel are going to eat up so much of the budget.
Well, maybe if the issue was the whole what happens if the water tower has to come down. Like, well, that was the question, right?
Well, it was that,
right,
and then there was some language that Southern Corrosion related to access
right.
and
right.
and maintenance of the tower and only having... experienced personnel on the tower and a specific notice. So we went back and forth a few times on the contract, and I feel like they just kind of fizzled away, but I can go back through Which one was the one we were actually negotiating with? Was it Tower Point?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we bring it back up, get it back on the agenda.
Yeah. I think Ryan Lucy from Southern Corrosion was not a fan of it. I had a conversation with him at the summer MML, and he thought it was a bad move, but we didn't really get into a lot of the details, so I don't know what his reservation was.
It might have been that.
What was his name again?
Ryan Lucy.
Well, he's the one from Southern Corrosion, yeah. But it might have been the access and then being up on there and making sure that anything in a contract was covered under for access, I think.
That's all. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you. I would like to thank Planning and Zoning for their work this year. That is another thankless job, and I appreciate them volunteering their time to help move the town forward. Shout out to I went to Fettersburg Elementary School's community night. It was a really nice night. They did a really good job. Maya, their community schools coordinator, did a great job. They had a lot of people there. And I didn't get together like our pamphlet, but what I did end up doing is going around to all the tables and introducing myself and talking to them just to get an idea. And I collected some information of what resources are out there. So it might be nice on our website to post some of the other resources just as a link page. Right, here's the information, you need help with this. And it kind of maybe is another place for members of our community to get out and do that. And then, I don't know, so there was the little boy that wants me to put a Chick-fil-A here in town. And he made my night. He came up and he's like, are you really the mayor? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah. And he said, can you get a Chick-fil-A here? Yeah. I said, well, I'll see what I can do. And then he asked for me to make it cheaper. I said, well, I don't know if I can do that, but...
We can't even get a Let's Brunch here.
Yeah, I know, right now. A lot of work on the Chick-fil-A. And then I would also like to thank everybody that came out for the park cleanup. It's amazing what 20 people, some leaf blowers, that big leaf sucker from Denton can do in 6 hours because we really it looks really good up there. Mm-hmm. So it made a big difference. Every time I rake up leaves, I think, man, we really should take more trees out.
Busters.
That's a lot of leaves. And I'd like to tell everybody happy Thanksgiving. So, other than that, I will take a motion to go into executive session for personnel.
I will make a motion to go into executive session for personnel.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?